Okay, Ronnie Meads, it's a great pleasure to welcome you to Connacht, I suppose. You've been well welcomed by Claremorris Rugby Club, one of the newest clubs on the scene out here out in the West, and you know, a great event on here tonight.
Yeah, I must say, very pleased to be here. I'm very impressed with all the activities that are going on. Shows great commitment by a large number of people to rugby in the area, which is wonderful to see.
Yeah, new clubs are a thing that maybe, you know, in the past it was hard to even imagine because almost clubs were covering so many areas. But now there's such a demand for rugby that even small little pockets of counties all around the country are starting to think to themselves, maybe we can spring up our own club here.
Yeah, there's wonderful enthusiasm for the game. There's no doubt that the standard of the professional game and the support that it has brought has increased the interest in rugby greatly, both from spectators and indeed from people who want to play the game.
Yeah, and your thoughts on where Connacht Rugby is going right now, or Claremorris, you're an example of that, like in terms of the amount of people playing the game, and of course the crowds they're getting at their professional games all of a sudden now being in the Heineken Cup as well.
Well, the number of good players that come through is related to the number of people playing the game, and they're obviously in Ireland there are two or three sports competing for these players, but frequently until people get involved one wonders, you know, what talent could have been shared in so many areas of the game. I mean, in my day, as coach of the Irish team, there were a number of people who had played Gaelic football, and I'm a great believer that there is a cross relationship between those skills. Nowhere is this more evidence than with the French, where their involvement in basketball and in their enhancement of balance and so forth. So it's a great thing to see clubs developing in an area where in fact they're fortunate, because they serve an area, to have a pool of players that will be committed to them.
Yeah, and I suppose in that theory, when young people are playing rugby, you're probably a great believer in cooperation between sports to ensure that they're playing other sports as well and getting the best out of every sport.
Absolutely. I feel that in the past, particularly when rugby was nearly limited to secondary schools and so forth, that there was not enough availability of sport to people to enhance their skills. And of course, I mean, one's only to look at other individual sports like tennis and golf and so forth to see that early exposure to the correct techniques is what makes the champion player.
Do you know what interests me now? You're doing a coaching course tomorrow with a lot of the local coaches from around the province and beyond. I think there's upwards of 60 signed up for tomorrow. So I'm very interested to know how you switch from the professional game to the amateur game when it comes to scrummaging. And do you see this kind of divide that people are saying that it's almost, they're incomparable, the two games, you know, when you get to All-Ireland League, maybe third tier level, and what we're seeing at professional, especially in the scrum area?
Yeah, there's... There's no doubt. I'm not so sure that I would pick the scrub area as the biggest area the biggest area of difference. There is no doubt that once you produce a professional game and people have 6-7 days a week working at it, I mean the fitness and physical profile of the players would be the one thing, and I'm very keen and believe that the two games will have to be split, because I don't think what happened until comparatively recently, that professional players went back and played with their clubs at certain times, etc., etc. I think that is reaching the stage of being dangerous because of the difference. One of my slight regrets is that Ireland isn't maybe more reliant on native Irish players than the number of, not that there's anything about the excellent players that have come in from abroad, but so that we don't lose the identity of the provinces in this sort of thing. But definitely there is now a huge gap between the professional game, largely based on physique and of course on they are developing their skills extraordinarily well, and the Irish provinces probably exemplified that more than most.
Yeah, I suppose if the club games to survive then, and I might be kind of leading your direction, but I'm pretty sure you'd agree with it, that it's communities or community rugby's where they're going to have to go. And instead of looking for the attention of having a couple of monster players coming into your team for a weekend or Leinster, it's more the fact that you're going to have to build it from underneath, have your development players and the community, the strength of the community.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is so. But they are indeed very fortunate to serve a community. Because it works both ways. I mean, take, for instance, Wanderers, who I played for in their Halcyon days, who were demoted this
down
year,
junior,
who were, in fact, a club who promised excellence, attracted players through having excellence, but because they slipped off that excellent standard, they didn't get players. Hmm. Now, Clonethley, for instance, have 37 clubs feeding players into Clonethley. Leinster, which is my home province, has 17, it might even be 18 now, senior clubs, which is far too many. There aren't enough players for that.
And Wanderers are going down to a world, because we, on knockon.ie, we're very much focused on the club game, and Wanderers are going down to a world now of provincial rugby, but in a sense, there's a lot of people who view that maybe Division 2B and 2A of the AIL would be better served to at least play half the year in a provincial sense and then go to national competition on the basis, as you said, senior clubs. Maybe we need to limit the number that there are.
I agree with you totally there. I think the correct structure is to play a provincial competition and then draw out the two top clubs from that to play in a semi-final and final, or you could even go to four if you so wished. But the first of all, I think it avoids an awful lot of needless travel.
Yeah.
Secondly, the expense on this travel for the clubs is enormous, and there are an awful lot of clubs in Ireland in dire straits financially.
Absolutely.
And this is so. And thirdly, I would like to see a situation that players were not paid at club level. You see, the game is a professional. The game is a professional game. So therefore, you are entitled to pay anyone who decides to play. That they are not impinging on their status within the game by being professional. That's as it is. The rugby union, if they so wished, could put in an embargo at a certain area, but where you police this sort of thing is extremely difficult. So it is still possible with a club to buy yourself success if these players were around. But on the longer front, I think that a number of clubs who have had area feed have been enormously successful with the players from that area. Ballinahinch in the north, Skerries, who have now come back again. Greystone started in those categories, and innumerable ones now. Cashel being the latest one in Munster.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting point. I don't want to let you go without talking a little bit about scrummaging. And what I'm interested in is where scrummaging rules in terms of underage, in terms of how much they can push. I'd love to get your opinion on that, because there are some who believe that Argentinian props and Georgian props are coming out stronger because at 14, 15 they're allowed to push. But what's your thinking on this?
We'll
push more than 1.5, I should say.
It's very complex. Put in a new cassette there and I'll get going. First of all, I think that for reasons other, as well as this 1 meter, there's been a certain dearth of development of props within the club game. Although, funnily enough, recently through Clongos and the chap in the paint tight end in the under-20s and that,
and the Clonic lads as well. Yeah,
there are a number of outstanding individual props. So you've got to divorce the outstanding talent and the system.
Okay.
And you might well say that these fellas have come through despite the system. There is no doubt that not pushing at schools level is deleterious to the development of props as such. You could then bring in the safety thing. Personally, the 1.5 meter doesn't matter, because you've done if you want to do damage, all the damage is over by that. In fact, it's often you often see, if you look at the professional game, that they're totally in control for the first meter, and when they go beyond that, they lose control.
Yeah.
But there's a point I want to make here, though, which is which is in relation to refereeing and in relation to the development of the scrum within the modern game. There are two laws. One is it is illegal to push until the ball is presented to the scrum. Secondly, the tunnel must be parallel to the goal line. I did some work with Owen Doyle on this some years ago, who is the development officer for, or no, that's not his title, he's in charge of refereeing. I said to him, get four brave referees out in the Heineken Cup and blow the first four teams that push before the ball comes in off the field, and then hand out a couple of yellow cards and you'll solve a hell of a lot of the problems. This came from the Southern Hemisphere. It came from the Southern Hemisphere, who believed that in the hit everything could be achieved in that. When they moved forward from that, the front rows and others in the scrum left their feet behind them. Once you leave your feet behind you, you are not in control of whether the scrum stays up or not. You're dependent on your opponent. Now, if you want to get into the take and double take on that type of scenario, there lies the problem. I abhor the lack of quick ball off the set scrum. As I said to Michael Checker when he was coaching Leinster, I said, Michael, you have the best back line in the world to score tries off set scrum ball delivered correctly. So why are we trying to beat the tar out of lesser teams and not producing quality ball? And that is what is happening, and that is a great pity for the game. And one of these days, somebody's going to catch on. The back row moves, people hitting the gain line on the side of set scrums, and quality passing of the ball is more important than everything else. And when they do, they'll start cleaning up.
It's amazing. In a sense, a really good scrum, you shouldn't notice that the other front row were beaten, because it's the ball is gone as quickly as you've got it in.
You attack their ball, yeah, and you defend your own.
Yeah. Well, listen, people will be just so engrossed with that. It's an area that people are learning more and more about each day, who haven't been front row players, and I know rugby fans a lot. Listen, you must be well welcomed here tonight. It's going to be a good night here in Claremorrison.
Yeah, it is indeed.
You're looking forward to it. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.